time on a Wednesday. Look at that. You're already halfway through your work week. You've done it. Weekend peeking its head around the corner with like 70 degrees on the docket. It should be a beautiful one here in Colorado. You want to join us? Hit us up at 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. You can join the show there. You can also watch it over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. We're going to hear a bit from Greg Pinna. We're going to hear a bit from Sean Payton. But I want to keep this conversation going, Stoke, that we just had about trading up and how aggressive Sean Payton is. We were trying to get in the head of old Sean Payton. And I really, really do not want to give up two first-round draft picks to move up. Even if Sean has fallen head over heels for J.J. McCarthy, I just the juice is not worth the squeeze for me. But what the texter asked is, maybe you don't have to give up two first-round picks to make that big play. Maybe it's Patrick Surtain that gets you up there. And it's not going to just be Patrick Surtain, but maybe that does take the place of one of those draft picks. Maybe it's one of those draft picks in a second that gets you up there. And I will say this, Stoke, maybe I got to take it all in a little bit more throughout the day, but right now, 12:02 on Wednesday, I would do that play. I'd unload Patrick Surtain the second to go get the quarterback that Sean has fallen in love with, because save your text, Patrick's great, but quarterback's more important than cornerback, and it's not even close.
Yeah, but it's going to take more than that. It's not just like we'll trade you Surtain and move up to four. I think it's going to take more. So it's like Surtain plus plus.
Would a plus plus be a first?
Yeah. Now what?
Yeah, now I'm out.
Now you're out.
Now I'm out.
Okay. So
it's like PS2 and a second, a third.
Oh, I think it's PS. Talk. I think it's PS2 and another one.
Mm.
And I think it's another one next year. So you're out though, if that's the case.
I'm not giving up first round picks.
Okay.
I got to be done on that because of what Russ and Sean Payton cost.
I don't want to do it. I don't. But I want a quarterback. So I'm kind of torn here. And you know, Cecil Lammy's like, he's on the polar opposite side of you. Mm-hmm. Like, give up whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, no one remembers what they gave up for Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, right? That's where Cecil is. You're on the other side, and I'm more with you. But at the same time, I'm like, I want a quarterback. Guess what? I want a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. I want a quarterback to be excited about, but I also want the right quarterback. And I know the ramifications if you make that type of move and you miss. And you miss, it won't be pretty for a while here. So that's what I'm scared with, and that's what I'm concerned with. But at the same time, I could get excited about, man, just moving up and going to get one of these young guys and just hoping and praying that we have our quarterback for the next decade and we can start seeing, you know, we can make football fun again. Mm-hmm. Make offensive football fun again around here would be really nice. So I'm more on your side. But at the same time, like, if you do it, you better hit. You better make it work out, and you better find the right guy and draft the right guy.
Well, and to Cecil's point, and he is right. Like, Cecil's right about it. You're not going to remember what it costs when it hits. But you're certainly going to remember what it costs when it doesn't hit, because it'll be Broncos fans that have to sit in the world of suck again for a few years if it is a miss. So I'm just – those first-round picks are just too valuable, and we've seen them throw them away. Over the last couple of years for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I don't want to say throw them away.
And the other thing to think about here in this conversation is, so you do, say you move up, okay? You give up a first-round pick next year and whatever after that. You got to think about next year's first-round pick. That might be a top-five pick.
That's right.
Right? So you have to realize that in this conversation, we might be in a situation where we move up from 12 to 4. Give up two first-round picks, 25, 26. And that 25 pick might be the third or fourth pick in the draft. Like, hey, all right. Hey, that, I mean, you just got to understand that's where we might be. So you have to look out in the future, too, and it's like, all right, this is not late 20s pick.
Yeah.
This is going to be probably a top 10, top 15 pick for sure in the draft next year.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do that knowing that, hey, this could be a premier pick, and we're gonna gamble that away on this quarterback. So,
and you know what we would be? We would be the 2024 Carolina Panthers.
Yes, exactly.
And they are the, as much as we can poke fun at who the Broncos are, that's the actual laughing stock of the entire league. And you want to be mentioned with what they are? because that's what could happen.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's a huge risk in it.
It is. I'm not predicting the Broncos to be the worst team in the NFL next year. But hey, look, you don't know. You could have the number one pick next year. You could.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. But all of a sudden, guess what? Your star quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, gets hurt. Right?
Yeah. And 70,000 all cry at the same time.
And then your young quarterback just isn't ready, you know, to play in the NFL, like Bryce Young wasn't ready. You have a couple other injuries. And then, you know, just like sometimes the season just gets out of whack. And next thing you know, you win, you know, three games and you're picking one. Yeah. That could happen. Right. So you got to prepare yourself for that. If you're willing to make a big move, you got to understand the consequences and what it could look like.
Broncos fans, what would you do? Would you give up the couple draft picks? Would you want to throw a PS2 in there to save some of the draft picks? Let us know at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com. Text line. All right, let's hear a little bit from Greg Penner. Greg talked with some reporters, sat down with our Broncos insider, Mike Kliss. It was nice. They're just out in Orlando under a couple palm trees, just talking some ball, you know?
Man.
Kliss and Penner just getting it done.
Golly. And we're over here in a snowstorm and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Must be nice, Mike. It's good to be Mike Kliss.
It is. It's always good to be Kliss. Well, they talked about free agency.
But it's better to be
Greg Penner.
You're damn right.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take Greg Penner over. Let me check real quick. Anybody in the room. All right. What was their approach to free agency this year, given the situation they were in with Russ's cap hit?
Yeah, obviously a very different approach this year versus last year. We knew last year we had a couple of immediate needs on both the offensive line and the defensive line that we had to fill in, and we just didn't have the draft picks to fill that in, so we were aggressive the first day. You know, we knew going in this go-around we weren't going to take the same approach, and I've been impressed with Sean and George, and they've been very measured and strategic. Our approach is going to be long-term to build the roster through the draft and then be opportunistic with free agency and trades and strike when we, you know, when we're in a good place to do that. But we're not going to be aggressive every year like we were last year.
So not going to be aggressive every year the way they were last year. Like I said, financially, they couldn't do that this year. But it is a little bit of that. He's very calm, cool, and collected. But I, when he said, we're just as impatient as Broncos fans were at the end of the year, that was a big statement of him, like, okay, you're just blowing smoke. You're just saying that. I believe him in that conversation. Why do you spend $6.5 billion to just come and play fantasy football? They're not in just being in the group. They're in we win in the group business.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell right away when you just look at their actions from the start, right? From the start, like, are they invested in this team? Do they want to win? Do they want to have a first-class organization? And it's like, yes, 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 right? I mean, you just tell by their actions, right? New field, last game of the season. Hey, we need to we're ripping up the turf in the Broncos indoor facility. Like, you still got, like, 10 years left. And, we're going to put the better turf in there. We're going to build a whole new facility. You really don't need that. The other facility's pretty damn good. Well, it's a little bit small. We want a little bit bigger. So they're building a whole new facility. Like, so you don't do that unless you're in it to win it. Right? I mean, you just don't make these moves. You're like the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we're not going to have air conditioning in our indoor facility. Andy, you're going to sweat your ass off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, they don't have air conditioning there.
That's
their
ridiculous.
Indoor. Right. And so could you imagine Big Andy in there?
Oh, dude.
It's just pouring.
Yeah.
Right? Hot Kansas City, humid summer afternoon in there.
That's got to smell a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, that's the way they're operating. And now they're winning, obviously. But, like, so you don't have to do this investment into this team. You don't have to unless your number one priority is winning. And so the standard's been set.
Mm-hmm.
And by their actions, you can tell. And so another thing I love, you know, listening to Greg is he's involved.
Yeah.
He's hands-on. That's his approach. He knows what's going on. He's a part of these decisions moving forward. And he's a part of not only like, hey, you know, it's not like, I don't believe it's like, hey, Sean, just kind of do whatever the hell you want. Like, there's some oversight there, Sean. Like, hey, okay, I'm going to lean on you, Sean. But also, guess what? I'm the damn boss, right? Don't get it twisted.
Yep.
And so I think we have that aspect here, which is great. I want that. You need that. But also you have a guy, I think, that's very measured in his approach. And you saw how he handled Hackett. They could have fired him after week three.
Mm-hmm.
They came all the way to like the final straw. Like, you can't embarrass us on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, now you're gone. And so I think he hired Sean to let him do his job. But at the same time, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I'm still present. And we're gonna run and do things a certain way. So I think we, with that ownership group, very, very fortunate to get the right people here, and the people that will invest in this team and invest in this city, but everything around the team, yep, also to make it great.
See, and I think there's something. I actually watched the full sit down with Clisson Pinner last night on TV, and you got to hear him kind of get into the weeds a little bit of. Mike asked him about quarterback, and he said that. He said, I have the conversations with Sean. That was actually something I took away well that you just said of, oh, you're in the room. You're having the conversation. It's not Sean telling him what's going on. It's a collective open conversation. Maybe Sean's input has a little bit more weight than other people in the room, obviously because of what you paid him. But I looked at it as, all right, Greg Penner becomes the acting owner of the Denver Broncos. Of course, Robson Walton bought him and puts Greg in charge. And then he hires George Payton, or George Payton's here.
George Payton's here.
George Payton's here, and it's like, all right, I'm going to learn as much as I can. This guy's here. I'm new to this business. And then took everything in from George, maybe realized we might need somebody else that knows a little bit more about this game. Let's go get a guy that's won a Super Bowl in Sean Payton. Now he's learning from Sean Payton and understanding what it means to have that clear communication, not micromanaging, but he's not out of sight, out of mind, and I'm 100% with you. I don't want out of sight, out of mind. I don't want you over the top micromanaged. I don't need no Jerry Jones, but you need to be a part of these conversations. You write the damn checks. You are the businessman behind all of this. He is just as much of it as any other owner, and I think Broncos fans should be fired up for that.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And what you really love, like, you don't want an owner that's going to micromanage everything.
No.
Right? But like he knows better than everyone else. Well, we got it. You got more money than everyone else, but that doesn't mean you know football better than these guys. And then you try to be too hands-on. And so that's not the right approach. Well, we didn't get that guy, thank goodness. And you don't want the owner that's going to fly in on the private, once every 3 weeks to check on things and then fly back out and go to Cabo and go to, South Beach and West Palm. Like, no, you don't want that owner either,
no.
Right? So I want a guy that's invested, that's here, and that is having these conversations with the coach,
mm-hmm,
whether it's weekly, whether it's, I guess it depends on what time of year it is, but this guy is here. Right, he's invested, and obviously, I think when you run a company like Walmart, which he has run,
yeah,
right, there's a certain structure there. Like, you're used to having this type of structure and being in control and looking over like a bunch of employees,
yeah,
and running a big time company. It's almost a little bit like the same thing here with football. There's a structure there, and he's at the top of it, and so like he's been at the top of a huge corporation, mm-hmm, running that, and so now it's probably a little bit different for him, but very hands-on. It's not like, okay, y'all do what y'all want, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care about these quarterbacks. I don't care about the draft. No, this guy is hands-on in here, which I think is a really good thing, but it's not overbearing.
Right.
Like you said.
Another thing from Greg Penner, again, we heard Sean Payton asked, Mike Kliss asked him, like, how difficult was it difficult to move on from Russ with the cap hit? Sean's answer was, nope. Well, Greg Penner also talked about that with Mike Kliss. The decision and the choice that they ultimately came to of taking the $53 million cap hit this year to make it easier in 25.
Yeah, there are a number of factors that went into that. We considered what we were going to do in free agency this year. We obviously looked at the players that we had on the roster. We wanted to make sure we were going to be competitive for this coming up season, but also for the long term. And we felt like we could take the bigger hit this first year and still be successful and competitive this coming season and be in an even better position next season.
See, that there it is too at the end. Be successful, be more, still be competitive this year. That's, they got to sell you that up front, knowing that it might not look like it did a year ago, even with Russ's struggles.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be tough this year. That's just the nature of it. I mean, you can look at the situation and know with what was going on, it was going to be tough this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a quarterback. You can't spend a lot of money. But I think what they're doing is, and it's pretty obvious, when they take the 53 this year, $1 million dead cap and you take less next year, you're gearing up to make a move next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
This year is about laying the foundation down and getting things right, and then we can make bigger moves next year. But right, but this year it's just like, okay, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? You got to pick and choose, and that's fine. You're in a tough situation, but you know, next year we'll be able to be more of a player in all of this, and hopefully we have more of our ducks in order,
mm-hmm.
and everything heading in the right direction, so we can make more of an impact the following year with free agency and the draft. But is, you know, you say that, and we talk about that, right? Like that. I mean, that's what it sounds like,
yeah.
from Greg. And but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, what if they do jump from 12 to 4 and spend a lot of assets to do that? That doesn't seem like it's gearing up, you know, for next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's gearing up for you're going all in.
I think the only – I'll take the other side of this. I agree with you, but the other side of this, I think, is salary cap goes up. You are out of that giant Russ deal. There's more moves to be made. Who knows what the future of Garrett Bowles looks like at that point of next year of – this is what I could talk myself into as a Broncos fan. All right, you make the move. J.J. pops. He's the guy. Sean identified and was right in who the quarterback was, and then you win in free agency in 25 instead of the draft.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm
just go spend all of his money.
Well, and also, you know, if you're right at the quarterback, now everything kind of falls into place mm-hmm. there, right? So it, you got to find a quarterback at some point. So, you know what? Let's do it this year. You know, just talking this thing through and looking at both sides of it. Okay, we know this year they're being very patient.
Yeah.
They have to be. They took the bigger That's cap right. hit this year. They And what else I liked he said there was they looked at the free agency pool this year. And I don't think they loved it. So it's like, okay, we're not going to spend a lot anyway. We don't love a lot of these guys. Let's take the bigger hit this year. And then next year we might like the guys a lot more and we'll have more money to spend, right?
Yeah.
So I like that approach. Like, you're not just saying, hey, we want to take more of the cap hit this year just to do it. You're looking at, you know, what would you spend it on? Well, we're not going to really spend it on anything anyway, so let's go ahead and take more of the cap hit this year. But you still have to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
And so if you do that this year, if you're aggressive and do it, all right, it is what it is. I mean, that's fine. I don't really care about it. Just find the quarterback.
Right. But it is also easy to say, you know, we didn't like the class of – that's like – yeah, I didn't like the pretty girls at the bar either because they didn't want to talk to me.
Right.
Like that. Yeah, I don't even like them. Get out of here.
Yeah, they're not that hot.
Right.
What are you talking
that's
about?
Kinda,
hot? No.
That's kind of what I feel like he's saying there.
Right.
Like, yeah, it was whatever with those guys. We didn't need any of those people.
Oh, no, we didn't
like
them.
We got Josh Reynolds.
Down class
in March.
Year.
What are you talking about?
Come on. No, that's. Yeah, I think you might be onto something there also.
I've played that card. That's how I know.
Right. Seems like you got that down.
Yeah. Several times.
No, I don't even want to talk to him. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not going to go over there.
I just want to play pool with you guys. It's a lot more fun to do that.
Yeah, playing cutthroats, the three of us.
Right.
Yeah. Kevin knows, too. He knows what I'm talking about back there, Kev, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not even worth your time going over there.
Palookas, dude. Just hang out at the pool tables over there.
That's right. That's the spot. We got to get Stoke up to Palookas.
Oh, yeah?
Way up north.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That might be worse than downtown.
It might be.
You'll get shot there.
Oh, you'll get shot
You're
there.
Leaving
okay.
immediately. Huh? You're leaving immediately.
Okay, yeah, I'll pass. Those days are behind me to take those risks.
But we can have some fun. All right, you want to talk a little Nugs, a little Avs. Let's start with the Avalanche. We're both kind of on the same page of last night. Like, you lost it. You don't get to the 10-game winning streak. It's a bad team that you lost to. But I'm not panicking. I'm not freaking out. I hate to even do this of like, you know what I care about more, Stoke? Tomorrow's Rangers game and Saturday's Predators game than the loss to the Canadiens last night.
Yeah, I could care less. I really could. It's just like, who cares? All right, move on, you know? Like, really? What are we going to do? Like, I can't believe they lost to the Canadiens. Oh, my gosh, our season's over. Like, I'm not going to overreact to one game.
No.
Right? Look, the puck just didn't go in the net. Sometimes that happens. Goalie played good. Goalie got lucky. You missed a couple shots he had a chance to post, you know, whatever the case may be. McKinnon had a good chance, went high with it. I mean, like, sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. And it's just one of those games where it didn't happen for you. All good, whatever. Turn the page. I still feel really good about this team and the additions that they had and how it's impacted this group moving forward. So I could really, really care less. I wanted them to win, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, you took a bad penalty late, and that puts you in a bad spot, obviously, when you take a four-minute major with, you know, 5 minutes left to go down one.
And he high-sticked the heck out of that.
Yeah, that makes it difficult, right, to come back. So it's all good. It's all good. This team has come back so much this year. I was expecting them to do it. It didn't happen. Let's move on and get ready to go. I still feel really good about this group.
And you know what? Jared Bednar felt similar last night talking about, hey, this
Me
happens.
And him are similar, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Same hair, same kind of
same
style.
Hair, same build.
Yeah, right?
I can actually see that. You guys would probably be pretty tight.
My hair look like this.
Yeah.
Fluff it to the side.
He has,
why are you shaking your
I'm
head?
I'm trying
now?
To do it too.
Oh, shaking my head?
He was doing the hair. Oh. You guys, you have less gray than he does.
I know.
You dye it though, right? You dye your hair?
Oh, keep that in house. What are you talking about, bro? Come on.
I saw him in the bathroom once doing the comb and the beard thing.
Again.
Like, crap,
we're on the radio. Like, that's supposed to be in house, in locker room, right? That doesn't leave the studio. You just broadcast it to the world. Appreciate it.
Well, you put my business with the curlers out there, so
True. I deserve it.
Figure we'll go both sides of that. But here is Bednar. Just, hey, these games happen from time to time.
We've had been on a pretty good run here lately, big emotional game. It's not, I mean, it can happen, right? You just don't have it every single night, but it's still frustrating.
See, he's frustrated. That's him kind of frustrated. But that's, this might be unfair, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, do it anyway.
I feel like Malone, in a game like last night, questions effort. And he plays that card. Well, these guys weren't ready to go. They geared down. They just don't play hard enough. And then you get that from Bednar going, there's 82 of them. It's going to happen from time to time.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. Okay. I know what you're talking about with Malone. And sometimes it does get, like, he ticks me off.
Yeah.
You know that. Like,
I know,
when he talked about the rest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, stop it. But he was right. You know, about that, they obviously played a lot better after that. But I think you have to know your team, right? You have to know your team and your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you might handle it differently game 78 than you did game 5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's different times of the year. So you have to push the right buttons. And sometimes it calls for, damn it, that effort was terrible. You just want to get on their rear ends. And sometimes it calls for a little bit of love. You know, like, hey, this stuff happened. We've been on a good run there.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens. Like, just didn't go our way. Wasn't that we didn't want to do it. It just didn't happen for us, right? Yeah, he's still frustrated. If I was a coach, I would be frustrated, too. I'm not frustrated. Why? Because I'm not the dang coach.
You're just a fan. We're just watching.
Right, I'm a fan. So I'm like, whatever. It's all good. But if I'm coach, I'm frustrated. We should have beat the Canadians. They stink. We're good. We let them off the hook, right? So you're frustrated if you're Bednar. But you also understand that it's a fine line. And sometimes you just get the bad bounces. You get the bad breaks. Puck's not going to the net and all these different things, right? It happens in sports. So, but I think with Michael Malone, he's got the right pulse of his team,
okay.
Right?
All right.
I mean, look what happened last year and winning it all and going to the, you know, 7-man, sometimes 8-man rotation there and just he was calling out effort sometimes and then Marilat, like, I can't believe he's doing this again. He's going to lose the locker room. And next thing you know, we got a parade and it's confetti. So I'm going to give I'm not going to look too much into that with Michael Malone because I think he does have a good feel for his team. And the other thing that you got to realize is when you have the guys at the top, like Jokic and Murray, that can take some coaching, and Jokic can take some, like, you can do those types of things.
Yeah.
And you got to keep those guys humbled a little bit.
Okay. And look, Malone just won an NBA championship. So he's obviously pushing the right buttons and figuring some things out. It's just interesting to me of, and Bednar's more, he's way more relaxed of a human being than Michael.
But you remember
Malone
when he did it? You remember when Bednar did it?
When he say, if they're not going to skate in practice, or in the game, we're going to skate in practice?
You're damn right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he knew. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you push.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to give the kid a little spanking.
Okay.
A little spanky spanking.
Yeah.
To wake him up. And that's what he did in that moment.
Yeah, he did.
Right? When they were not looking good, he's like, all right, they don't want to, you know, give the effort, paraphrase, give the effort in the game. Well, we'll do it in practice, mm-hmm. okay? And so in this instance, though, it's a little bit different. Like, dude, we just won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
It happens. I'm not going to be too hard on him tonight. So Bednar, he knows when to push and pull okay. also.
Listen, that's what I, like, pick your battles.
That's right.
Pick the right one last night. Good job there, Coach Bednar. Even
can't spank your kids anymore.
In
so
the loss.
Just,
you can't?
No.
Well, then I'll be calling my father after the show.
Right.
For about... Let me do a quick math.
No, but that was
3,000 apologies.
Yeah, no, that was. Yeah, my mom used to get the belt. My dad never spanked. My mom.
Oh,
she
really?
Got the belt. She would get the belt.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that scared me.
Yeah, I know. And I'd just be crying. I'd be crying. But you know, there's no more yeah. belts or spanking.
My mom
much.
Was a big fan of the long wooden spoon.
Yeah.
The you know like the stir yeah. of the soup.
Yeah, that'd hurt.
Like that thing. Yeah.
Does it hurt?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She, but what you do now? You do timeouts.
Oh, face the corner?
Yeah, just go like, I yeah. think. Yeah. That's what I did with my kids.
Okay, well, they turned out all right.
They turned out good.
Yeah, okay. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. I had to think about them. Like, yeah, they turned out good.
Occasionally, right? Good. Yeah.
Shout out to Lana.
Yeah. Yeah, she did the heavy lifting, yeah. that's for sure. Yeah. All right.
See
well,
how I did that?
Yeah.
See? Brownie points there.
Paying some tax. That's what he's doing. when we get back, let's keep the conversation going with the other side of the Ball Arena Bros. Let's look at what the Nuggets have on deck tonight. And... It doesn't look like it's going to happen, but should MPJ be getting a night off sooner rather than later as well? That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, real fast, before we preview Nuggets tonight, I want to talk a little Michael Porter Jr.
Junior Michael Porter.
Yeah, that's right. I got a question for you. Kevin just gave me some info. Kevin just got a random text on his phone from a number he doesn't know.
Oh.
And Kevin, what does it say?
Uh-oh.
It says, "Hey, Maria, are you busy with your work this afternoon? If you're not busy, let's go shopping at the outlets."
Oh, wow.
So what should we text back?
Oh, should he wow. text back, like, meet you there
I'm,
at
I'm,
1?
Oh, I'm out.
Why?
I'm out. Because I'm just karma for me. Yeah, I'm gonna let y'all do that, but I think maybe what you said, Josh.
Okay.
But I'm out on this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Tell her you'll meet there at 1.
But then like, what if this guy's crazy or something, and he ends up finding out his chicken fingers, and he's listening to this show right now.
I'm leaving in 2 days, so
yeah just for the weekend. You're going to be back, bro. You're not leaving for good. You're not leaving town. Like, this guy doesn't have a short-term memory. He's going to remember after 4 days. He's still pissed off, and he's going to be looking for you. So, yeah. I don't know.
But we don't know if it's a guy or a girl.
I mean, if they're asking Maria to go shop, I think it's like a day out shopping amongst the ladies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she's hot.
Maybe you join.
Yeah.
You just show up and like, this was me.
Wait a minute. Say to meet there at 2:30, then you can go.
There you go.
And genius. Then you just show up. But then you also have to be like, hey, I'm that guy you text.
I'm the creep.
And then they're stunning
I'm the stalker.
You with a stun gun.
Yeah.
I'll be there in a black hat.
Yeah, yeah
look
right.
at the guy in the black hat.
Josh, you come with, and if we need a fight, I'll let
okay,
you do the
right,
fighting.
Right. All right, what should Kev do? Let us know at 303-713-1043. All right, I want to ask you about Michael Porter Jr. He's looks like he's going to go tonight. He and Nicola are both... not listed as anything, so they should play. A.G. Jamal listed as questionable. Should MPJ get a day off, Stoke? He has struggled a little bit in the last couple games after being a stud post-All-Star break. And there is another layer to this that is, of course, what his brother Jonte Porter is dealing with in the NBA. If you missed it yesterday, he's being investigated by the NBA for prop bets made on himself in a couple of games, one in January and one in March.
Or that, you know, someone affiliated with him.
Or someone in his crew,
like
his circle.
He probably didn't do it himself, but seemed like someone had inside info on what was going right. on. Is that kind of the way, that's the way I read it. But
he alerted his buddies like, hey stomachache tonight.
Yeah, no eyes twitching. I might get poked in the eye and only play 3 minutes mm-hmm. tonight. Just a heads up on the under-unders. Trust me, I won't take a three-pointer right. if you want to bet that under 0.5 three-pointers.
Can't even shoot it from 27 feet. My arm's hurting so
shoulder.
Much.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what happened. I must have slept on it all last night.
So... There are a couple of ways I think about this, of Michael getting a night off. And you and I had the conversation, I think we did it off air, about like real life problems that players deal with. And now that I've got to do this job for a long time and I've got to meet a bunch of athletes and I've been fortunate to do that, and I can go, you know what? Despite playing football all that time and being all, you know, a star player underneath that helmet, there's a human being in there.
There's a real life person.
It's a real life person.
Yeah, that's nice of you, Josh. That's real sweet.
Can I tell you how I felt before I started this job?
Yeah.
I didn't give a damn about who you were as a real life person, because I thought, you wear the team's shirt that I root for and you get paid to play a kid's game. So I don't care what's going on. Go out there and perform. I don't feel that way all the time now. There might be some times when I yell at the TV with those kind of thoughts, but I don't think that's something that fans have at the forefront of their brain, because they're fans. They want the team to win. It's more about the team than it is the player, and then certainly when it comes to personal life problems. But it's a real deal. How much should Nuggets Nation be thinking about that when it comes to Michael Porter Jr. or the coach, and maybe give him a night or two off and just go figure some stuff out, and when you're ready to come back and be a basketball player, come back and be a basketball player?
No. You're right. Look, you got to play, man. This is what you get paid to do. All right, I get it. I mean, look, we all have different situations that come up. Your brother's dealing with something. All right, you still got to go do your job.
Sure.
We all got to do jobs. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's not always ideal and perfect. It's life, man. There's some adversity that's going on, and this isn't a blanket statement. Certainly, some things precede your work and your job, but, like, you're not getting free passes and outs and days off for just, like, every little thing because, you know what, your baby mama's brother, sister, you know, is having a tough time and you know, like, no, sorry. That's not the way this thing works. Go do your job. No, he doesn't get a day off. He doesn't need a day off. Now, just play ball. Let's go. That's the way I view it.
Okay.
So, if he's crumbling and he can't function, then I guess you got to. But he played the other night.
Yeah.
With this stuff looming and
not
and,
very well
and going on. Not his worst game. I mean, he's 3-for-4 from 3-point land. Only 11 points. But he only shot the ball 7 times, 4-for-7.
Mm-hmm.
It's not awful. Not his best game. He was playing really well. I think every situation is different or unique. But for the most part, for me, I get it. Your brother's going through something. Okay? Thank goodness, he didn't pass away. You know?
Right.
I mean, he's got to go. What are you going to just fly over there and, hug him and hold his hand? Is that what's going to, what is 2 more days going to do for you? Nothing. At a certain point, you know, you got to man up and do your job.
All right.
And not
All right.
saying that he's not, because he did the other night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's kind of, I mean, that was my mindset when I played. A lot of stuff is going on. Yeah. And I know times have changed, but, I got a job to do. I only work 17 weeks out of the year, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I got to show up and do my job unless something catastrophic or something, you know, really, really bad has happened.
And I get that side of it, too. But I think there's two. I mean, there's everybody's different, so you handle it your own way, obviously. But obviously, we've all dealt with adversity. There's been some things in my real life that suck, and you still got to come to work and do the show and do your job or whatever it is you do for work. And I think in my instances, probably not all the time, Stoke, but I tried to look at it as that's my release. I get to go to work and do this so that's on the back burner. That real life situation.
Exactly.
But I also think there are, not everybody has that capability. Not everybody has that mindset to be able to split it right down the middle. And then they take that, I don't want to say nonsense, but the bull junk they're dealing with to work with them. And then now work sucks.
Yeah. And, no, you're right. You're right. How do you handle it?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the person that, I want to work. I want to go to the practice field. I want to play in games. Why? Because then I'm not thinking about it. That's kind of like your release, and you're just like, okay, this is the one place where, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
All that bad stuff happened, but now I'm on the football field, and I'm playing in the game, and, you forget about the terrible thing that just happened a week before. So, no, you're right, but some people can't, and you know what? It makes their performance worse.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I definitely understand that. But I also think that and, you know, we're living in a different world than we did when I played 20 years ago. I get it. So, I don't, you know, if he's having a hard time going out there doing his job, then, of course, you don't put him out there. But, all right, I said, okay, what is 2 more days going to do?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to be under an investigation, and it's probably not going to be good news here coming up for him. Are we going to just, you're going to take 2 weeks off? You're going to take, you know, 2 days off. You're going to fly up there and go see him. And I don't know how this works. So certainly if it's going to affect his performance on the court, then you don't play him. But they played him on, what was that, Monday, mm-hmm. when this stuff was going on.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm assuming he's going to play.
Nuggets fans, love to hear from you. Like, do you separate it? Do you separate real life problems that your favorite players are going through and their performance? Or is it, hey, you get paid big dollars to play a kid's game. I don't want to hear any excuse. Tell us at 303-713-1043. We'll react to a few of your texts when we get back. And I also want to go up to Boulder and talk about something that's going to help CU being announced and launched yesterday. And I also want to wonder if it will help keep Dion around long term. Details on what it is next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, something big went down in Boulder yesterday. Something big for the future of the Buffaloes, and it has to do with NIL, of course. A new NIL collective for CU, for CU's football team specifically, was launched Tuesday. It's a 5430 alliance. It's going to help build a fund for CU to pay players via NIL. This 5430 alliance already helps schools like Arizona, Arkansas, Maryland, North Carolina State, Penn State, Stanford, UCLA, Utah, and now you add the Buffaloes to this.
Okay, so this is like... Huh. So this helps a bunch of other teams, too?
Right. So basically, it's like a giant corporation that says, we can help you build funds.
Gotcha.
This instance, it's NIL funds. And then they offer packages for fans to go and donate. You can get some stuff. Like, for example, they're having a dinner before the spring game.
Okay.
At 5430, the Alliance is hosting.
Gotcha.
$10,000 a table, but it goes all towards the fund.
So they do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll only take 50%.
That's exactly right.
Right?
There's a fee there.
But they're run, like you said, the dinners, they're doing everything, putting it all together, yep. doing all the work and the leg work. They're doing all the work for this and that. And mm-hmm. Okay, all right, that makes sense because I'm sure it's a big undertaking. You're trying to raise, you know, $8, $10 million every year or whatever the case may be.
Eight's their target.
So that's not an easy thing to do. And you let a corporation that does those things do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that's, like I said, they have these monthly packages or annual packages that just fans can be a part of, and as low as $15 a month to $250 a month, where you probably get some cool Buff swag and a couple of tickets to some events if you're contributing. And then, as I said, the, you know, $10,000 a table to events and things like that to go get you as much money as you can to get $8 million a year, because that's what Prime thinks they need. So.
Okay. So it's like you could almost do like a subscription type of thing, yeah. right? Like yeah. a monthly fee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, just, hey, $10 a month.
And then just comes out of your bank account and you're,
right.
you're contributing to the Buffs NIL fund.
$20 a month. Okay. All right. See, I'm like new to this. I'm trying to figure out how they're, you know, kind of cool. All right.
I like it too. Again, it's all these other schools are going to be doing it until you can get, I would imagine these schools come up with their own department and do this on their own down the road. But as of now, here's a corporation that's handling that for them. So here's the couple questions I have. $8 million a season. That's the target. That's what they think they have to be, quote, competitive with the big boys across the country, end quote. Can they get that? Can they get $8 million a year from Buffs fans, from donors, from alumni? It's a pretty big number, and Drew was actually looking at it yesterday. Drew, I think we found it was, what, 9 million was number one in the nation a year ago? So they're wanting to be in the conversation as the best NIL collective in college football.
One of the best, then. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit higher this year, right?
Yeah, sure.
If you're talking about the nine's now 10. But, they're looking to be in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you want to play big-time football, then that's what you got to do to compete for some of these players is you got to have the money to pay them. And so I think especially if you're a school like CU, you know, you're not playing in the SEC, and you're going to have to pay. So it's not like you're this, you know, you got this great history and tradition. I mean, I know they had some winning, but it's like what did it look like the past 10 years? These kids don't remember, you know, Alfred Williams, Cardale Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Johnson, the quarterback that Charles Johnson that couldn't throw,
yeah,
right, the option
right.
quarterback, shout out.
Charles Johnson, Brandon Stokely,
right.
quarterbacks that can't throw.
Right. Yes, exactly. but I was freshman year of high school. He was in college. Yeah. So that was a good one. But like they don't remember that era. Mm-hmm. Right? They weren't even around then. So you got to pay. And so I like it. Can they get to that number? I don't know. I mean, I would think that you have a great attraction there. You have a great pull with Deion Sanders and the attention that he got. Like people want to be around Deion, and they want to touch Deion, and they want to be a part of Deion. And so I think you have something there at least that you can go to if you're this corporation that's trying to raise money. People look at it, yeah, I want to give money. Deion, look how much, yes.
Right.
We want to get the Buffs going back in the right direction. $20 a month, right? So I think they have the guy that has that it factor to be able to get that type of money from alumni, from students, from, you know, the boosters, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe people that aren't even affiliated with the school. Yeah, I want Deion to be successful. Here's, there you go. You know, I mean, how about our guy? Our guy.
Which guy? We have several guys.
Well, the guy that with the B.
Oh, yeah.
We want him to buy. Yeah. Our guy. What's his name?
Oh, man.
What's his name? Robert Smith. Robert Smith,
nice
right?
Nice job. Robert
Smith,
the billionaire.
You remember Mr. Smith? Yeah. Yes, Mr. Smith, the billionaire. He's from like here. He went to school.
We wanted Robert
right
to
down the road.
Deion a lifetime contract.
Yes.
That's what it was.
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, like, maybe hold off on that. But at the time, sounded good. We'll hold off on the lifetime contract.
Things
but,
have changed.
Right. But hey, how about this, Josh?
Okay.
How about just give us $8 million?
Every year.
Just $8 million, right. You're a billionaire.
It's a tax write-off.
It's a tax write-off. I mean, come on. You're a proud member of this state. You grew up here. You want to see this state and that great university succeed.
Yeah.
How about just $10 million a year? Let's just do 10. Make it
nice,
easy.
Nice, easy number.
Instead of 8, that's all tricky. Let's just make it 10. T-E-N.
Boom. Right?
A lot better than the E and the I. Mm-hmm. Like, so there you go. Problem solved. Like, I just solved the problem.
That's perfect, actually.
Easy.
How do we forget about old Robert Frederick
Smith?
Robert,
our guy.
Yeah,
our
that's
guy.
Right.
There we go.
He's the CEO of Vista Equity right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, never heard of it, but I'm sure.
Doing great. Doing great.
I'm sure it's doing great, man. I'm sure. He's got a B.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm sure old Vista is balling.
Now, he did go to high school here, but he decided to go to Cornell
that's
University.
Okay. That's okay. No, we claiming him.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
Well, look, Cornell
like, we loaned him to Cornell.
Yeah.
But he is one of our own. Like, we raised him here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
He's still
that's our brother.
He still went to CU, Cornell University.
Right, but like we don't even care. We let them have him for a few years, but like he's ours.
Yeah,
right. You know, so that's the way that we view this thing.
Cut the check, Robert.
Yeah,
what's the deal, man?
Right,
$10 million bucks. Come on,
just 10. I mean, it's easy.
Yeah,
I mean we could be at the top of the list.
That's right. You could just let Robert like stand next to Deion on the sideline. You know, what I mean?
Whatever. I don't care. Whatever he wants. What do you mean? Like whatever he needs.
Yeah.
Like. He can ride damn Ralphie out on the field.
Oh, there we go.
That's what we're going to do for Robert. Like, you're riding Ralphie every game.
I'm
Robert Smith
that.
On Ralphie. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. I mean, like, yeah. I don't care.
It's your heart out, little mutton busters, because Robert's in some trouble on top of Ralphie.
Hey, we'll make it work. Whatever he needs, we got it taken care of. Real simple there, right?
Easy. Does this, so if Robert cuts a check or they are unable to get to that number, 8 to 10 million bucks, does that help keep Deion around here? Or is it just, is the Deion thing all about his kids?
I don't know. That's the tricky part.
Because they can be competitive, right? If they get to that number and he wants to win the transfer portal the
of
way
course.
He can, like they can compete year in and year out with that number.
Deion can compete and he doesn't need a lot, right? You give Deion a lot? Oh, I mean, I'm not going to doubt him. I'll go. He'll go toe-to-toe with anyone, right? I mean, that's who he is.
Yeah.
So... that's what I'm saying here. Like, let's go above and beyond. Why aren't we number one next year, Mr. Smith? Memo?
That's right.
Right? I mean, make us number one. Let's see what Deion can do. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be nice.
So, I mean, could you imagine? Like, if Deion has those resources, it's not going to hurt him staying for sure. Like, okay, I got a great support staff. where I can compete against some of these SEC schools and some of these bigger schools because I have the money and the resources and the support from the alumni and Mr. Smith helping them out. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I don't know. Like, it won't hurt, but he already knows.
Yeah.
He already knows whether he's going to stay or not. Like, if you knew, like, hey, I'm really here for my kids and Travis, and then once they're gone, they're gone. It doesn't matter what you raise.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be gone. Now, if it's kind of 50-50 and like, ah, no, I love this place, and if he has that type of support, then he'll stay.
What do you think, Buffs fans? Could this help Deion? Can they get to that $8 to $10 million? And do you have Robert Smith's phone number so we can ask him to cut a check?
We'll take
or email.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Cool. They probably still have a fax machine. I'll try that.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
All resources. Let us know at 303-713-1043. Let's come back, kick off quarter number four, tell you about an addition that the Broncos made earlier today and continue to talk about chasing J.J. McCarthy. Details on both next.
It's Sean Payton ready to roll the dice to find his next QB.
If he loves a guy and he feels this is the guy that can be the Denver Broncos quarterback for the next 15 to 17 years, then what's a couple of draft classes to give up? In the big picture, if you are convinced that's the guy and you're right, whatever you give up is a drop in the bucket.
104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.
Brandon Stokely here for my team at the Garage Doctor. You go to the doctor every year for a physical to make sure you're healthy. You should treat your garage door the same way. Make sure you don't have a surprise some morning as you're rushing out of the door coming home at night. Have peace of mind knowing every morning and evening your door is going to open and close. The Garage Doctor. The doctor for all your garage door needs is not only the doctor you should call for preventive maintenance on your door, but they also offer custom solutions on new doors. They can help you visualize your new garage door with digital renderings to customize colors, styles, and other options to help create a look that you absolutely love. And for the commercial customers, they offer an extensive selection of products from full view doors to fire doors to help meet your business requirements. Schedule your appointment with the Garage Doctor, locally owned and operated for almost 20 years. Find out more information and check out all the unbelievable photos of all their custom work at thegaragedoctor.com. That's thegaragedoctor.com.
You wouldn't know it, but most financial advisors are put in a box. I'm Jeff Jr. from Trajan Wealth, and I want to provide you a little insight about financial advisors. Most financial advisors have to sell what their company requires them to sell, and many advisors have to only adhere to what's called a suitability standard. A suitability standard is a limited standard of care, not requiring what's sold to be best, just suitable. Advisors with this loose standard often have limited investment and product selection. Trajan Wealth is held to a fiduciary standard, which is the highest standard of care in the advisory business. And that's just one of the many reasons we have billions of dollars under our care and attract clients from other advisors. Raise your standards today and call Trajan Wealth. Call 720-405-3300. That's 720-405-3300.
Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
March is a critical time to check your home's windows. If yours are cracked or leaking and won't open or stay open, well, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free. Plus, zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months to full years. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands have trusted Window Nation. Don't miss out on this. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Hi there, I'm Kim Rudell, owner of Wills and Wellness Estate Planning. If you've been putting off doing your estate plan, it's time to stop pushing your luck. It's never too late to get your estate plan in place. No more excuses. Our team makes the process and experience positive, straightforward, and even fun. Come see us and let us help you make a plan to secure your future and the future of your loved ones. Find us at willsandwellness.com or give us a call at 720-266-8190.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
See why Comcast Business powers more small businesses than anyone else. Get started with fast speeds and advanced security for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with a qualifying internet package. Don't wait. Call or go online to switch today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Equal bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan's brought to you by West Shore Home. Visit westshorehome.com/mark to schedule your free design consultation.
KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. 104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Let's kick off quarter number four, giving you the latest on what's gone down today with the Broncos. And it's still a whole lot of talk and wonder about the quarterback play and who Sean has fallen in love with, be it J.J. McCarthy or settled on Bo Nix, who might be around at pick 12. But they did add a wide receiver today as well, Stoke. They have signed wide receiver Josh Reynolds from the Detroit Lions, did it about an hour or so ago, and he's going to come in and be one of the veteran voices in that wide receiver room. He was with the Rams early on in his NFL career from 2017 to 20, then with the Lions for a year, the Titans halfway through, then went back to Detroit, and that's where he's coming from here, coming off of a 40-catch season with 608 yards, a 5-touchdown season, and he's going to come over here and compete for some playing time alongside Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick, who, you know, TBD on the kind of player Tim is, coming off of back-to-back injury-riddled seasons. But Josh Reynolds, that's the latest addition today by the Broncos.
Yeah, I like the move. Low risk, high reward. A guy that was a good, solid receiver for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Not anything special, right? We didn't just get Justin Jefferson. We're not doing cartwheels over here.
No.
But that's not the position that we're in. Now, I know, like, Merrillat came on. He's like, you know, of course, he was Debbie Downer and like, well, you know, the NFC Championship game was known for two things. You know, Dan Campbell, you know, going forward on fourth down, and Josh Reynolds, you know, with his two drops or whatever it was. I get it, right? Guy had a couple drops. All right. I think he had like three all year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Three all year.
That's so pretty
good. It wasn't like he was, you know, Jerry Jeudy in it.
Yeah.
You like that?
I like that. Huh? A lot.
He wasn't doing that, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have three in one game. Okay. He had three all year. So he had two drops. Guy can play inside, do a little slot, mm-hmm. play outside. So there you go. You got a guy that's hopefully come in and provide some depth, and a guy that's that can play inside and outside. Those guys are very valuable. We don't know what Tim Patrick's going to look like. Hopefully he comes back and he's the Tim Patrick got old. But
of course,
you know, you got to have some other players and some upgrades there. You lost Jeudy. You just can't roll into the season with Sutton and then expect Mims. So you got to have a backup plan, and you don't have a lot of money to spend. I really like this move.
I do too.
Now, it's not a move that you're never – Broncos aren't going to sign anybody that we just love, right?
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
But we're not getting, like I said, some star wide receiver or some star defensive lineman. I mean, we don't have the type of money. But so these are the plays we got to make.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bargain shop. You got to go find yourself some Stokelys.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the fifth wave of free agency. Yeah, that's when I got signed.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's what you got to find. So, good. Good signing. I'm two thumbs up.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You just nailed it. It's March 27th. Anybody that a team signs today was not the target, was not the first choice, or not the ideal spot that they wanted to fill at wide receiver for the Broncos. But you get a guy like Josh Reynolds, it's a 2-year, up to $14 million deal. I also like what you said earlier. I haven't seen the terms yet. We'll learn that as the week goes on. But I would imagine, and I would I would bet that all of this is front-loaded in a one-year deal where there's no guaranteed money after that and a small cap hit in 25 so that you can just say, hey, didn't work. See you later, Josh, if that's the case. So low risk, low reward, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. No, we're looking for high reward. Yeah, we're not looking for low reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want low risk, high reward.
That's actually been the last 8 years.
Right. We're trying to change that, Josh. We want high reward here, low risk, and hopefully that's what we get with Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
But he's a good, solid player. Seems like he's a good teammate, you know, when you're just seems like that type of guy there. So we'll see.
Plus, I hope somebody asks Sean Payton about Josh Reynolds, and then he says something nice about Josh, and then we have Coach say nice stuff about Josh that we get to play here on the air.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah. I see where you're that's a Zach Bye move.
Oh, really? Like, that's actually where I learned it.
Yeah, so, like, because someone said something about, like, you know, Zach's, you know, very talented or something. I think it was VJ. I don't know who he was talking about.
Okay.
It might have been Zach Azani, the old receiver coach or something. Wow. And he pulled that clip about Zach, and he played it all the time. I was like, all right, enough of this. So I know what you're talking
about. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what Zach did.
The Broncos should hire somebody named Brandon. That's
good. They had Brandon Staley, but no one ever said anything good about him.
You don't want your name and his name all together in the same sentence.
Not anymore.
You absolutely don't do that.
No, thank you.
Another thing I saw was Bucky Brooks' latest mock, and we don't have to go through it all, but he has the Broncos taking Jared Verse, the edge rusher. JJ's gone, but Bo Nix is available. Brock Bowers would have been available. And I started to think to myself, how does Broncos country feel? I mean, it just almost feels like it's a quarterback. I was going to say Bo Nix because that's what it is. It's Bo Nix, it's Brock Bowers, or it's nothing at all for me. I feel like Broncos country kind of lives in that of an edge rusher at 12 would, even as good as Jared Verse might be, and he's looked at as the top edge rusher here, that feels like a huge disappointment.
Yeah, or like the other one is move back. Okay, we got some assets. Sure. We got accumulated more picks, right? I mean, I could say, okay, you know, we need more picks here. No, you're right. It's not the sexy. It's not the splashy. It's not like, it's like, really? Like, we've heard about Brock Bowers for 3 years now, how great of a tight end he is in college, and, like, we could have had him. We haven't had a tight end in, like, since, you know, forever. It'd be nice to have a tight end. Tight ends are pretty important, right? And we didn't pick that guy. What about a quarterback? Like, we haven't had a quarterback since Peyton Manning. Like,
yeah.
Can we pick a quarterback? That, at least we can get excited about those guys. But I'll say this. I remember good old Jerry Jones, right? You know, taking a guard in the first round. And Cowboys are like, what? Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're Cowboys Nation, Cowboys Country.
Yeah, that's a good
Cowboys question. Nation.
Cowboys Country.
America's team.
Well, that was then. This is now.
Right. America's former team.
Yeah.
How about that? America's former team, that's the Dallas Cowboys. Now. But Jerry took an offensive lineman. Like, that's not what the fan base didn't get excited about. Well, the guy ends up being an all-pro like every year, Zach Martin. And he took a center 1 year. That guy ends up being an all-pro. Like, so it might not make us excited at the time, but it's not about, you know, how we feel as a fan base. How about in a year? Is this guy Von Miller 2.0? Mm-hmm. Would you be excited about that?
I definitely would be.
Right. And so that's what matters here.
Well, I guess, minus the injuries and trying to lie on a drug test. Like, that stuff I don't really need, but...
Dang, you didn't have to do that.
Oh, that happened?
Dude, no, but that was unnecessary. I'm just telling you. Just like out of the blue, just sucker punching, Von Miller like he was Vince Young.
I speak facts. I needed to present the facts along the timeline.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah? Were you going to react to it? Like, I thought that was a pretty good comment by me. I got nothing from you.
I was being selfish.
Like, you got to stop and acknowledge, like, how good that was.
That was good. That was good.
God, Vince got sucker punched.
He did.
And just folded. But it was a pretty good punch, I guess, right? I mean,
didn't see it coming.
Wow. Sucker punch.
You ever been sucker punched?
No. Not that I remember.
Kevin, it looks like we have an experiment to try.
I ain't swinging.
Next break. Next break, perfect. I'm going to go to the restroom. Why now? Now you have. Welcome to the club.
First time for everything, right. Stoke.
I'll hold the camera.
Kisner's a cameraman.
Yeah. I got a feeling Zach is down to do the punching.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I don't know what I forgot where we were. But no, I'm talking about outside linebackers. Yeah,
talk about
Von Miller failing drug test. I mean, goodness gracious. So, but that's the point here. We don't, and I'll raise my hand here. I'll take a big L. You know who was excited like 5 years ago?
Who's that?
Brandon Stokley when they drafted Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, you were.
I was fired up. I was fired up. Well, I wish they wouldn't have. I wish I'd have been depressed on draft night and they drafted someone that I'd never heard of and that person ends up being great, right? So it's not how you feel in the moment as a fan. You got to give it some time and hopefully it works out. You got to find good football players. That's what this team needs, and that's the bottom line. So if they do pick that guy, will I be excited about that pick? No, I won't. But I just hope he ends up being a great player, and then in a year we look back and say, all right, that was a great pick.
Okay. Broncos fans, how would you feel? Does it feel like it has to be a quarterback? Anything but or even Brock Bowers, does it feel like you will be disappointed on that Thursday night in round number one? Tell us on the text line, 303-713-1043, powered by Ramos Law, or over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I'll get over there and interact with you guys as well. When we get back, let's turn our attention back to the Avs. A tough loss. And I want to look ahead a little bit about playoff opponents and hear from Kale McCarr. We'll do all next.
After coaching Drew Brees for 15 years, Sean Payton knows the key to good QB play is a solid foundation.
You know, everybody said that Sean Payton is looking for his next Drew Brees, the guy who reminds him of Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, size 13?
Just Google it. Drew Brees wears a size 13 shoe. Bo Nix is our next quarterback. There's the number for you. It's official. Bo Nix is our quarterback.
You know what they say about big feet, right? No? Never mind then. 104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.